Ask the Podiatrist on Talk About, brought to you in association with the Tralee Killarney Podiatry Clinics, your local foot and ankle experts.
Now, a warm welcome back to Anne-Marie Horgan, who is with us for the first time in 2026. We didn't have you in January. But it's lovely to have you back for February.
Good to be back.
And it's probably too late to say Happy New Year.
It's never too late.
Happy New Year, Anne-Marie. We've loads of questions for you, so the listeners have missed you. And they're dying to get your advice, so we'll get right down to business. And we'll start with this one from Margot. She says, I would appreciate you asking Anne-Marie her opinion on having surgery on my hammer toe and bunion, which I've had for years. I'm finding it a bit difficult buying footwear lately, as it sometimes gets caught in my trainers after a long walk. Would you recommend surgery or some other options for helping with this, as I'm getting a wee bit older and I don't want it causing me problems down the line because I love my walking?
Well, when it comes to hammer toes and bunions, we'd always look at the conservative options first, because surgery isn't the end all and be all. It's sometimes, with, you know, I've seen over the years with patients, it might be unsuccessful and then it can affect their walking further. So we're always very careful when patients come in. So normally I'd kind of assess first, figure out why the hammer toe actually started in the first place. So what caused it? And then, is there any other secondary? So is there any drop bones or any secondary problems with the third, fourth and fifth? Or has the bunion kind of progressed quite quickly over the last couple of years? So we'd kind of look at the whole picture. Are they working? Are they standing? You know, are they wearing wellies? Are they walking a lot? So we'd look at the kind of all factors and then put a plan into place. So there is, like, you can put a kind of a toe strap on, we can pull the joint back into place. You can use toe protectors. You can get extra deep kind of trainers or footwear that stop the joint from rubbing. So one of the kind of major problems with hammer toes is that it buckles back, and so it's like if I bent my finger and then you've got the knuckle, so you lose the fat then on the top of the joint. So then if you're wearing, we'll say, a leather shoe, that leather shoe has no give, so it just constantly rubs off the toe when you walk. So then we would advise patients kind of more look for kind of softer tops, like either a suede shoe or a trainer which contains mesh. Stay away from kind of Gore-Tex because there's no give, or else just to make sure there's pliability at the roof of the shoe. So if the material is very stiff, it is going to cause problems. There's no give, so the joint is going to be under friction. So, like, if all the conservative measures have not worked and it's affecting your daily life, then yes, surgery. But we would always, like, normally the conservative measures do work. It's rare that I have to send patients to surgery or for surgery. But, like, if there's two things going on, like the bunion and the hammer toe, then yes, like, we can't. Like, surgery would be the only option to kind of minimise any secondaries.
Now, Angela was in touch with a question for you. It's about her mother, who's an active 74-year-old, but she has a pain in the middle of her foot for the last few months. Angela says, we got an x-ray done and some physio, but it doesn't seem to be improving. We will make an appointment with Anne-Marie, but is there any advice until we see her about this pain?
Well, if nothing showed up in the x-ray and her DEXA is good and she's an active lady and we'll say she's had obviously some physio, then normally it's like 9 times out of 10 when patients come in, it's a biomechanical problem where her midfoot has probably collapsed. So you must realise that this lady is 74, is it?
74, yeah.
So you must realise that her 2 feet are 74 years old, so they have to collapse. So, like, you know, the symptoms would kind of give us all the indicators. So if it's starting to affect her walk, if she's stiff getting out of bed in the morning, if certain footwear will cause a flare up, and then these are all the kind of little red flags that signify it is an arch problem. So in that case, pretty much guarantee we'd build some sort of appliance just to act as in a scaffolding effect, so just to support the foot and her body weight, and it's just ideally to take pressure off the midfoot.
Okay. A listener wants to know about her left ankle. She says it's causing me pain in the mornings and I have a tendency to roll on it more recently. I've been meaning to get it looked at, but a walk on the beach yesterday has flared it up.
That sounds like lateral ankle instability starting to occur. So, like, when people develop flat feet as we get older, like, our ankles get, like, year on year, that little bit of weakness will start to kick in. So if somebody has flat feet, the foot rolls in. So technically you're overusing the outside of the ankle. So the kind of lateral cords, I always explain them, but they're a bit like ropes. So you'll get a little kind of micro tear. It's a bit like a feather rope. So the reflex mechanism is in the cord on the outside of your ankle will start to get weak because the foot is rolling inwards. So simple things like going off a curb or walking on stones or sand, and then under, for no reason whatsoever, the ankle can just laterally, as in it can just go outwards. So if this is happening on a continuing basis, there's obviously a weakness there. So we fix the biomechanical fault first, and then for the ankle weakness, then you'd introduce kind of a strength conditioning program to strengthen up the ankles. And then we obviously look at our footwear. But it's all like, you must think, as we get older, our cords do get weaker. So that's why I'm always advocating to patients about strength conditioning or personal training or better bones, better balance class, or, you know, it's all to do with mobility and strength work to stop us getting older quicker. So with this particular lady, I would definitely probably look at coming into me, number one, and two, it would be a strength program.
A strength program, okay. A listener has, she says, my young girl, she doesn't say how old she, oh, she does, she's 11. Her 11-year-old daughter is always complaining of her heels and tiptoeing around the house. I don't think this is normal. Should I bring her to Anne-Marie for a look?
No, it's not normal. It's so tiptoeing, especially at 11. Now, you can get patients coming in 3, 4, 5, 6, and they're tiptoeing, but like, if you think, I always explain it to parents when they come in. So if a child is tiptoeing, it is like, we'll say, if you put on a pair of high heels. So the minute you put on a pair of high heels, it's like giving you an arch and you stand up straighter and you feel better. So the child technically is replicating a high heel shoe. So they're up on their tippy toes, and what they're doing is they're giving themselves an arch to take the pressure off. So when the heel hits the ground, that's why they're tiptoeing, because the cord is pulling. So when it comes to an 11-year-old especially, we'd always look at the kind of medical history, see is there any other kind of indicator going on. And like, if you think that when a patient comes in like that, we would obviously do a kind of a gait analysis and look at the visuals of them walking and go through the kind of habituals and, you know, their lifestyle, sport, school, shoes, everything. And we'd always kind of, with a lot of patients that age, you come to the conclusion that they have excessively flat feet and they're up on their tippy toes to give themselves an arch and take the pressure off. So normally, a client like that, they would probably need some sort of casted device. So on devices, we build kind of heel lifts. So basically, we bring the ground up to them. So it's just to give them a higher support mechanism also. So it definitely helps with the tiptoeing.
Okay, so she definitely does need to pop in and see you. Angela also has a question about her 7-year-old daughter. She says, I think she's developing a bunion. She hasn't complained or anything. My doctor said leave it alone and he kind of ignored it. But would it be advisable to get her for an assessment, or is she too young? A 7-year-old with a bunion? Is that possible?
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Really?
Loads of bunions, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, very common.
Okay. I always thought it was a thing that happened as you aged.
That's the perception.
Typical
attitude,
yeah.
Coming in. And the problem is, the sooner we catch them, the better. So if you're coming into me and you're 30 and the bunion is formed, I can't reverse. So if you come into me when you're 3 or 4, and then we can set a plan in place for the growth phase for up to 18 to stop the joint from stops the joints from turning. So 7 years old, 100% definitely. So if the joint is starting to destabilize, there's definitely some biomechanical fault going on. Now, a lot of people have the opinion, oh, it's hereditary, my mother had it, and then they just leave it at that, which is wrong. So it's always like I always kind of explain to patients that if your mother had bunions, then your mother probably had flat feet, and that's what caused the bunions, and that was never corrected. So then it passes on, then the flat feet then pass on to the next generation, and then because the flat feet weren't corrected, then they form a bunion, and then it's a kind of a vicious cycle. So it's always a biomechanical weakness that causes bunions, and people always have the attitude, oh, I wore tight shoes when I was younger. Yeah, you probably had bunions, but the tight shoes made it worse. They were already there, but the tight shoes just exacerbated it.
Yeah, so you can have a predisposition to bunions if it's in the family as well.
Yeah, it's breeding. You can't. It's genetics. It's any patient that comes in, especially at that age. Like, you must think, every time they have a growth spurt, I always say it's like a house. You're putting on an extra floor on the house every time. And every time you put on an extra floor, the foundation sinks that little bit more. So that's the same with kids. So a 7 year old, she might have had a growth spurt, and then the joint might have turned 1-2 degrees more that year, and then the next year it might turn another 1-2 degrees, and every single year, very sneakily, the joint will turn and turn, and one day they'll be sitting out wearing flip flops, looking at their feet and say, Jesus, my bunion's gotten worse. And that's always the way it happens.
Yeah. Okay. We'll take a break at this point, Anne-Marie, and if anyone has any queries about their feet or their children's feet or whatever it might be in that area, do send your questions in. You can phone them through to Mary Murray on 066 712 3666.
Ask the Podiatrist on Talkabout, brought to you in association with the Tralee Killarney Podiatry Clinics, your local foot and ankle experts.
Now, next up, Anne-Marie, we have a listener who says, I have a strange question, so I'll describe it as best
Go on,
I can.
We love a strange question.
We love a strange question. The toes on my left foot feel as if they are kind of restricted. And when I'm walking, I feel as if there's something under my toes, but there isn't. Could you ask Anne-Marie if she's any idea as to what might be going on? And this listener adds that they have Crohn's disease. Yeah. I don't know whether that's relevant or not.
To the bone density might be, but it depends on the age of the patient. But so there's something underneath toes, like that could be anything. So it's either on the ball of the foot or behind. Like, you know, as we get older, you've got kind of longitudinal muscles on each kind of digit. And so if I could explain a bit, like ropes on the lesser toes. So your lesser toes are second, third, fourth and fifth. And they can become very tight as we get older. So like if you think that when somebody walks, there's three parts to a footstep. So you start off with the heel, roll into the middle, and then you toe off. So when you toe off, these cords kind of stretch. And if they're tight, they can become under pressure. So it's like if I ask somebody now to go up on their tippy toes inside the clinic, and you know, if they're not able to go up as high as they should, so normally it's to do with a restriction, or else it can be due with strength as well. But a lot of times it can be due with restriction. And me giving a kind of a 100% solution to this problem, I can't, but I can give a roundabout solution. But sometimes it can be to do with the lesser digits being pulled. So you can try either a toe lift, which you can buy inside in the pharmacy, just kind of silicone ones, and they'll just help lengthen out the toes. You can be doing exercises at night time, like clawing a tea towel or clawing a bit of whatever kitchen roll. And normally we'd get patients to kind of activate those muscles. And what else there? We'd look at footwear. Have they changed their footwear recently? A lot of shoes nowadays and trainers have carbon plates. And what that means is that the trainer doesn't bend. So if somebody has problems in their toe area, and we'll say they bought a new pair of trainers, because the trainer isn't bending, the toes have to work a lot harder. It can actually bring on kind of toe problems. And I've seen that a lot with patients over the last kind of 2 or 3 years with the carbon plated trainers. They are causing problems to the forefoot. So that's probably the best answer I can give.
Well, speaking of trainers, I'll bring in this next question because it might be related. This listener says, wants you to recommend a runner that's got a good solid sole. The person says, I find Hoka and Brooks are too spongy. They don't support my foot much.
Well, then, yeah, see, that's what I've seen as well over the last couple of years. A lot of them, they're all gone down the foam and cushioning route. And then, like, you know, we're a concrete generation, and, you know, they burn out quite quickly. So, like, the foam can compress with body weight as well. And if somebody's doing a lot of mileage, they don't last. Six, seven months is as long as they last now if somebody's doing a lot of mileage. Then if they're not a fan of the kind of Brooks or the Hokas, I would more look at the kind of trails. So I would look at kind of Columbia or even the Merles, are kind of more sturdy. They have more of a compressed sole. So you'll get a lot more mileage. Now, they are a little bit stiffer and they have a waterproof top. So if anybody has kind of wider feet, I'd just be careful of the widths. But no, I'd recommend a lot of trail shoes to patients as well coming in.
Yeah, I wonder, just something you mentioned in passing there about the length of time people keep wearing their runners. Like, if you're walking 5-6 miles a day, 5-6K a day, you should be replacing your runners how often?
6-7 months.
Every 6 or 7 months.
Because they're carrying, we'll say, if you're 12 stone. So that cushioned footbed is carrying 12 stone. And I don't know, like, if you look on the side of trainers, sometimes you see these kind of lines down the side. So they're kind of feathered lines where the foam is starting to compress. So I always explain it like a mattress. If you sat in a mattress, it compresses. Same with trainers. You stand on trainers, they compress. And then because of the foam, and we'll say they're holding 12 stone, and they're being burnt on concrete from the mileage, then they burn out. So they start to become unstable then when the foam starts to get softer and they're just gone.
Yeah, so you need to replace them.
Yeah,
it's
well,
it's expensive,
depends.
But yeah.
Yeah, they've gone very pricey. Any kind of good trainer nowadays is 150 upwards.
Yeah, decent ones.
Yeah.
William has a question for you. Can you ask Anne-Marie, is there any cure for toenail fungus?
No, I'll be blunt. I'm 23 years in business and we've done everything. We've tried everything. There's lasers out there. There's now the only kind of thing that has kind of worked over the years, but it's not really recommended because it's toxic to your liver, which would be the oral route as in taking medication for fungal, so the antifungal tablets. But normally you'd have to go for a blood test every 3 months and get the go-ahead from your GP. It's a very slow process. People think, oh, I'll take the tablets now for 3 or 4 months. No, you have to be on them for at least 18 months to 24 months because it's the turnaround it takes for the nail to actually grow out. So I'd say that's the only successful route. There is over-the-counter. They'll have an effect, but 9 times out of 10, like, they don't really work. There is kind of nail lacquers, nail sprays, nail creams, but over the years we found they just don't work.
There's no miracle.
Laser kind of came out there a couple of years ago and it's... hasn't worked either.
A caller wants to know, a texter rather, says, I have a 10-year-old girl with hypermobility. Her arches are flat and I'm wondering if I should buy soft high arch insoles for her. Can you give me advice on what to do?
I wouldn't use soft ones because if you think somebody has hypermobility and they have a very flat foot, it's all about stabilisation. So we need to stabilise her and we need to support the bones as she's growing. So if you're putting a cushion under the house, how's the house going to be stable? So normally for that type of patient, it depends on the severity of their overpronation. It depends what degree they have and if they need like a castle orthotic where the walls are brought up very high. Like an orthotic is kind of custom made, so you know when patients come in we can build anything we want. So for somebody like that, if they have hypermobility and very flat feet, we would build walls up on an appliance very high so it'll act like scaffolding, so it'll support her and stabilise her and stop her going over her ankle and stop her being floppy.
Marie says she had her hip done a year ago. She feels since then that she could do with a lift. She has foot drops, but she says, I wear good runners, but I was thinking they now have ones with a lift. Does she think I could use them, I presume is what she means. She's 75.
Yeah, if she's foot drop, I'd be more worried about that because basically foot drop is more of a, we'll say, if I can explain it, like it's one leg that's kind of floppy so it can cause tripping and falling. So there is devices out there. You can get the leaf spring device for that, which basically will just lift up the front of the shoe as she's walking. What was the other thing she has?
She had her hip done a year ago.
She's got a leg shorter.
Yeah, she doesn't say. No, she just says she's...
All trainers nowadays, the heel stack has gone high. So if you look at trainers and you go into any sportswear shop, they all have thick soles. So the kind of analogy behind that is for posture, balance, support. Even before all these kind of trainers became high stacked, our kind of analogy in clinic would be to pump up the heels. So it's all about, like, when patients do come in with flat feet or any problems like that, it's all about pumping up the flat tires. So there's automatic heel lifts inbuilt in. So, like, looking at the trainers nowadays that are out, I highly recommend them. But the only kind of problem is if she's looking for a stack on a trainer, just make sure that they're not too soft because then you're losing the height at the back.
We'll just fit two more in before we finish up, Anne-Marie. A lady aged 80 is suffering from cracked skin under her foot area and in particular the heel area, and wherever the skin is cracked, it's very painful. Any advice?
Yeah. Now, is there an underlying condition or maybe is that from medication? I don't know. But like for any kind of fissured effect skin, you have to figure out what's caused it first and then implement a kind of a high-percent urea cream. So it's all about kind of, we'll say, causing renewal. We need to bring on renewal of the new skin. So like when patients come in like that, it depends how bad it is. So a lot of patients now would come in during the summer with fissures where the skin is kind of split. Excuse me. So basically we'd always kind of remove the kind of calloused areas first and then give them advice on how to kind of bring the skin back together and then implement maybe a heel balm or something like either a Eucerin or Aveeno or any of these kind of, our CCS is quite good. It contains a high percent urea, but any of the kind of creams in the pharmacy with a high percent urea will definitely help. But it's something that you have to do every single night. It's not once a week, it's 7 days a week.
Okay.
No, until it heals.
Until it heals, exactly. Now, I'm not sure if this next question is from a male or a female. I suspect it's from a male, though, but I could be wrong. I'm open to correction. This person is 45 And their question is, do your feet get bigger as you get older? I've put on a little weight, but I'm gone from a size 11 to a size 12.
They do, yes.
Your feet do get bigger.
100%, yeah, they get flatter. So if somebody always, and the amount of patients that come in every single week who are in the wrong size shoes is shocking because, you know, they're in a size 5 from their 20s and then they come in their 50 and they're still in a size 5 and then they've hammer toes and corns on top of the toes and they're wondering why. So you must think that we'll say, if this gentleman or person put on a little bit of weight, it's like if I put a few bricks on top of the car and then the tyres would start to spread or start to drop a little bit. So that's the kind of easiest analogy to use. But yes, they do. They get flatter as we get older because you're on them for 45 years. That's why I'm in business.
Yeah. And long may that continue.
Exactly.
And Marie, we leave it there, but thank you so much for that. We will put this up as a podcast because I know lots of you will be looking to listen back to some of the answers that Anne-Marie gave there. We'll see you again in March. And of course, just remind people where they can find you.
We're based there in Carrisley, next door to Maguire's Butchers in Tralee and then in Killarney. It's right across the road from the large Tesco's on the Park Road.
On the Park Road. Great stuff. That's the Tralee and Killarney Dietary Clinic. Thanks a million to Anne-Marie Horgan, who will be back with us next month. We'll take a break. We've loads of comments to read for you, and Mary Lucy will be joining us to talk about careers and specifically to talk about interviews. That's up next.